Hi, everybody. Can I be really blunt with you? If you think that God is only to be found within a church building, then your idea of God is somewhat lacking. The truth of the matter is that God is to be found everywhere, anywhere, at any time. If you can't find God at the kitchen sink, if you can't find God in the ordinary parts and ways and places of life, then something's missing. What does it mean to talk about God being with us? It means that He is with us all the time and wherever we are. So, of course, many of us long for the day when we'll be properly back in our church buildings. But in the meantime, let's meet God in worship every day and in every way. I'm thankful as usual to all those who are participating in this service of worship today. Thankful for their time, for their energies, for their commitment. And as always, thankful to the technical team behind the scenes putting these services together. So folks, wherever you are, whatever you're going to be up to today, let's pause now and let's recognise that God is with us. Shall we worship together?
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come, invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first.
Church on fire with
darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire, win this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here, we pray.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord of heaven and earth, we come rejoicing in our hearts that you, the one who flung the stars into space, the God who created the whole universe, the one who never changes, the God who is the same today, yesterday, and forever, would be interested in us. We thank you. And we thank you that as we come together in this time of worship, you are closer than we could ever imagine. For you are a God who is not out there. You are not at the other side of a computer screen. No, you, our creative and loving God, you are right here by our side, in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you. We praise you for your constant love shown towards us that is new every morning. And we praise you for all you have done for us in Christ, revealing in Christ your greatness and goodness, filling our lives to overflowing with your unfailing love. O God, you are amazing. You are worthy of all our praise. For you have blessed us in more ways than we can ever begin to number, your goodness greater than we can ever hope to measure, your love beyond anything we can even begin to fathom, and yet we know you as a living reality in our hearts, as the one who gives shape and purpose to all of life. But God, we know that we haven't always realised that you are with us. We haven't always felt assured. We haven't always seen that purpose in our lives. These days have been testing on us all. And for many, we have felt our spirits drown in fear of the future. So may we take this time now to confess to you how far we have gone from your love, from your truths, from your light and hope. Forgive us when we have only thought about self and not about those around us. Forgive us when we have seen no hope, no light. Forgive us when we have taken our frustration and our anxiety out on those whom we love the most. O God, we know that you are slow to anger and abounding in love, so as you forgive us, help us to forgive ourselves and be inwardly renewed. As we reflect today on the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit coming down on him like a dove, may we know of that same Spirit resting on us, filling us with your peace. Lord, thank you that you never left us alone. O Lord, but the Holy Spirit is our continual companion on our journey of life, guiding, teaching, renewing, encouraging, enabling us every day. So hear these our prayers. Accept this time of worship we bring and speak to us through all that we share. Deepen our sense of wonder, increase our sense of joy, strengthen our sense of trust, encourage our sense of thanksgiving, and help us to know you more fully in our hearts so that we may show your greatness more completely in our lives and live always to your glory. Through Christ our Lord we pray. Amen.
Hi everybody, welcome to our church Zoom call. We use these calls to catch up with some families and just chat about life during these strange times. We're just waiting on a couple more people. Here they come now. Hi Granny Smith, hi Sophie, how are you both today? Granny Smith, you need to unmute yourself. You know, the microphone button?
Oh, there we are. I'm not used to this technology stuff. I only got an iPad last week, and I'm still learning what to actually do with it.
Well, I'm glad you managed to get on. How are you doing this week?
Oh, you know, pretty much the same, just plodding along. It's just so hard to see people waving at the window or on Zoom and not being able to go out and have a proper chat or a hug. It's just so tempting. I've been chatting with a few of the other grannies, and I think we're all going to try and meet up in the park for a little bit, just to have a good chat. Who knows, I might even bump into the grandkids. It's not like I'm going to hurt anyone.
Now, Granny, are you sure that's a wise idea? I know it's difficult, but these rules have been put in place for all our health. Should we really be going around just breaking them whenever we feel like it?
Well, I'm sure once won't hurt, just for a little bit.
I'm not sure. Let's put that aside for now. Sophie, how have you been getting on?
I'm okay. I've just been doing some homeschooling stuff. I've been chatting to my friends, though, and they're planning to meet up this weekend, and I'm really tempted to join them. Being stuck in the house all the time is so boring, and I really want to see my friends in person.
Oh, Sophie, do you think that's a good idea? Have you not seen what's in the news about meeting only one person from one other household?
I know, Matthew, but it's just so difficult when all my friends are doing it. Surely it won't hurt anyone if I joined in, would it?
You know, both of your situations remind me of a story I read in my Bible, and a certain verse from Mark chapter 1. It says, "At once the Spirit made him go into the desert, where he stayed 40 days being tempted by Satan." Jesus is sent to an unknown place to be tested by different temptations, but he doesn't give in and builds his kingdom even more. This pandemic is sort of like our unknown place, and we might be tempted to take the easy option, which is sometimes the wrong option. But we need to trust God, that he will get us through this, and that he'll give us strength to keep going until we get back to familiar times. So do you think you guys can keep following the rules and see what comes in the next announcement?
I suppose so. I should be setting a good example for those young ones.
And I shouldn't be breaking rules or putting anyone at risk either.
Well, I'm glad you guys agree. How about we say a quick prayer before we end our call? And our other friends on the call can join in too. When I say, "God protect us," you can say after, "and be our guide." Now let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for this new week of fellowship, where we can come together virtually to worship you. Help us through the week ahead. God, protect us.
And be our guide.
Lord, we pray for anyone we know suffering from COVID or any other illness, and pray for your healing over them. God, protect us.
And be our guide.
We know it is difficult, Lord, but please help us stay on the right path by following the rules for school, social distancing, and the rule for living in your word. God, protect us.
And be our guide.
Amen. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining me today, and I hope we can catch you again soon. Bye.
It's always gonna be this way. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel."
It's no mystery why the early followers of Jesus often referred to themselves as people of the way. The Greek word for way is hodos, not to be confused with the Glaswegian colloquialism hod on, and is often translated into English as path or road. The writer of Mark, the first written of the four biblical gospels, is devoted to explaining what this path was all about. For Mark, it is first and foremost about the importance of discipleship. Mark starts his gospel with Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan River. There is no birth story, no immaculate conception, no little town of Bethlehem, no baby in the manger, and no wise men or shepherds. The central focus and theme of the book of Mark has to do with Jesus' own journey into Jerusalem. Everything prior to that journey is part of the build-up for that event. And everything after is a way of explaining its meaning. And all of this leads to the ultimate question that Mark asks of his readers. Will you follow him? According to Mark's story, immediately after Jesus' initiation ceremony by John, Jesus goes out into the desert. If there is any historicity to this story, this would have been a time when Jesus had to sort out his relationship with the infinite mystery we call God. It is impossible, of course, to have any idea about what the issues might have been in this young man's mind, but it seems clear that he felt he had to do something to make a difference. His people were suffering beyond imagination. He must have struggled with the options. Was it John's way, who was likely a zealot? Was it to be the way of the more radical Sicarii rebels? Was it the way of power and influence, or was it the power of love and compassion? Although Mark gives us little information about this struggle in the desert, it seems clear that Jesus chose a path of giving up all attempts at earthly power, violence, and further hatred. Jesus apparently chose the path of letting go, or emptying one's self. Today we might consider the oneself term here as ego or ego needs. This kind of spiritual path can open the heart and give the courage to love recklessly. And when we look at the entire story of Jesus, including his teachings as well as his life, it seems clear his path always presumed a spiritual death before one could experience a sense of new life or rebirth. His way required a death to the old self before there could be a birth to a new way of seeing, a new way of understanding and experiencing life. The writer of John's Gospel understood this clearly when he wrote of the need to be born again of water and spirit if one wants to experience this way of God. And what is that new way? It is a way that is driven by love rather than fear, even the fear of death. Like so many of the great spiritual teachers throughout history, Jesus understood we are motivated primarily by two energies. One is love, and the other is fear. Nothing saps our ability to love and be loved more than fear. In fact, love and fear are diametrically opposed energies. One who is motivated by love cannot be easily hampered by fear. And for most people, this is a different way of living. Far too many of us still see the world through a lens of scarcity. We see the world with limitations, not abundance. We live in fear of not having enough. We want our share and a little extra for safety's sake. We feel the need to hoard and to protect. We want control so we can't be hurt. We want guarantees. We want protection. We want to know the destination before we start a journey. We limit our love to limit our potential hurt. And if the pandemic has taught us anything, it is surely that living this way is not authentic or meaningful. The way of Jesus was very different then, and still is for most people. Jesus invites us into a path of love without guarantees, except that we will discover a new perspective and a new experience of life. He invites us into a relationship with the infinite mystery we call God. He says if we truly follow this path, we can learn to live without anxiety and fear. There is no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear, as the first letter of John tells us. So, during this season of Lent, if we take it seriously, we are asked, or invited really, to journey with Jesus to our Jerusalem, wherever that is and whatever it is, without fear. If we want to experience the promised new life, we must be willing to take this journey. It will require some deep soul searching and hopefully a willingness to empty ourselves of those things, those thoughts, those emotions that we hold on to out of insecurity or our hurts or our losses. I'm not suggesting for a minute that this is ever easy. For many of us, it is a lifetime journey. It is a path that challenges us to focus on the abundance and the blessing and to be motivated by love. It is a way that does not give in to fear. It is a way that acknowledges our interconnectedness to all life, and one that trusts that in spite of all its shortcomings, our lives are a gift, and this world in which we live and are part of is truly marvellous and good.
Pride of man and earthly glory, sword and crown betray his trust. All that human toil can fashion, tower and temple, fall to dust. But God's power, hour by hour, is my temple and my tower. And though much of the country is now in the grip of winter, we know that spring will come by your command, a new life with it. So we have every confidence in turning to you in prayer, in bringing to you our heartfelt longings, our deepest concerns. Hear us then, loving Lord, as we pray for our loved ones. As we pray for our churches, especially through this pandemic, that you'd show us new ways to be. And as we pray for our communities, folks who are hurting, broken, folks who are anxious, folks who are lost, folks who are burdened with guilt from what was done in days gone by, come, we pray. Free the captives. And we pray too for those who have been bereaved, directly as a result of COVID or otherwise in these days. For your peace, we pray. Yes, all things come and go. Much is reduced to rubble and ruin. But you, Lord, are forever. We trust you now and for all the days to come. Amen.
And now, go in peace, and may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all and remain with you today and forevermore. Amen.